Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word.
The Old Testament reading for the day of Pentecost is from Genesis chapter 11. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language. This is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one had heard hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us in his own native tongue? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God, and all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others mocking said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord. I invite the congregation to please rise as we continue with the Alleluia and verse.
Whom shall we go? Who have the words of eternal life? Alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel, according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father. For the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here." This is the Gospel of our Lord.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Tower of Babel is one of those cool Bible stories that you learn about in Sunday school. It's easy to teach on one level. It's pretty simple and understandable. The people of that time were all speaking the same language. They decided to build a tower with its top in the heavens. They did this to make a name for themselves, and to not be dispersed over the face of the earth. God, on the other hand, blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." So in mercy, God confused their languages so they could no longer understand one another. This brought the building project to an end, and the Lord dispersed the people over the face of the earth. And by the way, Johnny, that's how we got all the languages in the world. But you see, if that's all we get out of this story, then we have not understood it. Because as Jesus taught his disciples after the resurrection, and as we heard in some of the readings this past Easter season, the Bible isn't about giving us cool information, like how the different languages came to be. Rather, the scriptures are all about Jesus. And so we need to try and understand how this story teaches about Jesus, because then it'll be more than just a cool story or a helpful one or an informative one. It will actually be a saving story. And one key is to look at what God said about this project. When he said, "This is the only the beginning of what they will do, and nothing they propose will to do will be impossible for them." In other words, these people will think they can do anything. They will eventually think they can do everything. They will eventually think that engineering, science, and just a little bit of ingenuity will all be all the help they need. Look at what we can do. Man is supreme. Who needs a God? Which obviously sounds like the way many people think today. We can do it. Nothing's impossible. We put a man on the moon. We're looking to colonize Mars. We hold in our hands these amazingly powerful computers that can connect us to people all over the world and connect us to knowledge unbelievable. We're doing things today our ancestors never even dreamed about. And the things that we now consider necessities are way beyond the wildest dreams of luxury for the emperors of the past. And we do know more now than ever before. There does seem to be a limit to anything, no limit to anything we want to do. If we don't get it now, we'll figure it out. I mean, it seems like if the dream of Babel is becoming a reality, even with our mixed up languages, because, I mean, now there's technologies that will live translate your words into another language. And Google Translate, it can take anything you say and translate it into 122 different languages. With all of our technologies and all of our knowledge, there is more than enough reason to praise God for the many gifts that He has bestowed on us in our day. But there's two problems. First is, very few praise God for our science and technology, but rather want to replace Him with it, putting their faith in science and the advances of men rather than God. And while the second problem is, the picture is not all sunshine and lemonade, is it? Yes, science and technology are advancing at rapid pace. Yes, new discoveries are being made, and we are the recipients of a lot of blessings. But it's also fair to ask, are we actually better off? Is all the help we really need in our own two hands and in our minds? Yes, computers connect us, but computers can also separate us. Who knows? One day may dominate us. People are living longer, not necessarily better. When we find a cure for one disease, another seems even worse is discovered, or maybe mutates take its place, or maybe even scientists engineer another one. And what about peace in a world where the hostilities never really cease? There is more and more fear and less security. There's more and more division, it seems, and less understanding. More attacks and less tolerance of the good kind. Then there are our own consciences, which are either accusing us or wondering what the next fear and confusion causing thing is going to be coming down the pike. Things just tend to get worse. And of course, there's the one that nobody likes to talk about, and that's death. Some people deny it. Some people hasten it. Some people welcome it, and some look to it as a solution to their problems. Some people postpone it as absolutely long as they can. But if there is one thing that still really unites all people everywhere, it's death. We are going to die. One day, sooner or later. And no tower, no achievement, no name that we make for ourselves can stop it. In fact, the name we make for ourselves in the end will be written in our obituaries and chiseled on our tombstones. And that was the trajectory of the people in the land of Shinar who built that tower. But God wanted more for them than that. And so He stopped them to help them. He scattered them so that one day He could gather them again around a different tower to give them what they need. Not a tower built into the heavens by the effort of man, but to give them a way to life, a way to Himself. And that's exactly what we've been celebrating the past 50 days this Easter season. Jesus has provided that way. Not by a tower built up to the heavens, but by a cross. Not by a man, but by God in the flesh, bridging the unbridgeable gap between heaven and earth.
as God and man in one flesh, one person. The sin that separated us from the Father in heaven has been atoned for by the Son's death. And the death that robs us of life has been overcome by His resurrection. That's Easter. But it's actually still not quite enough. Yes, the Tower of the Cross has been built by God, but we need to be gathered back to it and around it. For the peace of mind, for the peace of heart that we need someone to tell us about that tower, God's tower. We need someone to point us to the cross and to point us to Jesus. We need the sin and the false gods in our hearts to be overcome, that we would repent, that we would confess, that we would turn away from ourselves and turn to the one who bridged the gap for us. We need a helper. And that's who today, Pentecost, is all about. The helper. The Holy Spirit, who we heard Jesus say today, the Father would send in His name. The Spirit, who will teach us of Jesus and point us to Jesus and give us the peace of heart and the peace of mind that comes with the forgiveness of sins, with the promise of life that death cannot end. The gifts that Jesus won for us on the cross are now given to us by the Helper, the Spirit. And so when Jesus spoke of the gift of the Holy Spirit, He said this as well, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." Not as the world gives, or maybe in our context today, not as the world would build, do I give to you. For with the gift of the Holy Spirit comes this gift of peace. A peace that doesn't come from the world. It doesn't come from us, or what we do, or what we are, but a peace that comes from God. The Father who sent His Son to build this heaven-reaching tower, and the Holy Spirit to gather all people to it, back to Himself. And we heard a pretty impressive list of folks who heard and were gathered on that first day of Pentecost. They were from all over the place and had all sorts of languages. Parthians and Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. But Pentecost didn't stop with them. The Spirit sent the apostles out even further to proclaim the word through which the Spirit would work and continue to give His gifts of forgiveness and peace. As the prophet Joel said, in the last day, God would pour out His Spirit on all flesh, men and women, Jews and Gentiles, young and old. A pouring out and a gathering that started on the day of Pentecost hasn't stopped. And we know it hasn't stopped because you're here. You wouldn't be here if it weren't for the work of God the Holy Spirit. The Spirit still being poured out and still working to gather people to Jesus and His cross through the Word of God. The Word that is preached, as well as the Word that is poured out in the waters of holy baptism. The Word which points us to Jesus and the Word that connects us to Jesus. The Word through which the Helper is teaching you, forgiving you, and pointing you to the tower of the cross, to the empty tomb, and testifying to you. There is where your hope is. There is where your confidence is. The cross and the empty tomb, they are our peace. Peace in life and in death. That your hearts may not be troubled nor be afraid. And so He has gathered us together today in the midst of a world fraught with danger and sin, trouble, change, and so much to be fearful and worried about. He's gathered us here today around the cross that He has planted here, planted on our altar, where the body that was hung on the cross and the blood that was shed there, the body and blood that rose from the dead, comes to us and unites with us so that receiving this gift, our bodies too may rise from death to life and finally and fully be free of all that troubles us here, fully at peace in Jesus. So by teaching us the past and giving us confidence for the future, we can deal with the present and know that whatever is happening is not such a big deal after all, not for God at least. Yeah, the world may be going crazy with its politics, its political correctness, divisiveness, new kinds of wickedness and evil seeming to be invented every day, false gods aplenty, atheism rising. And in your lives, there are troubles, there are worries, there are fears, challenges, there's uncertainty. But none of that can win. None of that can conquer a child of the Father in Jesus with the Holy Spirit. Our God has conquered all our foes and provided us with a sure and certain future. We may not know how we will get to that future exactly, the twists and turns in the road and the challenges and obstacles that we may face, but we will get there. We have our Lord's promise. So there is peace because we have certainty in our Lord and we can rejoice, for we are not on our own. We have the promised helper who gathers us to Christ and gives us life. And one day, Jesus will say to you what he said to the disciples that we heard at the very end of our gospel reading. Rise, let us go from here. Now, when Jesus spoke that to the disciples originally, he was going to the cross to defeat sin and death for us. But when you hear those words from Jesus' lips, it'll be from a place where your body lies. When you will rise and go from the dust to which you had returned, and sin and death will have been defeated, and nothing but life lies ahead for you. Life with your Savior, with his name, in his kingdom, which shall have no end. And the only tower you'll need to get there, you already have: the cross. Amen. May the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior, by the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Dew.
God's blessings.